Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial County. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning and welcome.
I know, we're on a roll right now.
Never, ever, ever forget that if you really love today's show, or if you think somebody else would really, really love today's show, you can go to KXORadio.com and access our shows through podcast. And you can get a short, brief overview of the show, or you can get the show in its entirety, minus all the silly things like this that I say that Mario is kind enough to take out. 337-8874 is our phone number. Let's Talk About It is our show. Oh, good. Alien feedback is gone. Nice.
Thank you.
Because, you know, we're doing this whole green show today, so we didn't want to sound kind of mechanistic and futuristic at the same time. So, whoa! Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the first hot week of the year.
I know. Let me just say and mention one community service.
Maria's Community Calendar, brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health.
But
take it away.
The El Centro Parks and Recreation is offering free breakfast and lunches to children, I think it's 18 and under, at the El Centro Community Center and also at Meadows School, and I think at the old post office pavilion. But if you need more information, you can call Meadows School at 352-7512 and ask for more information. And the lunches are pretty good. They are.
You're a child at heart, and they actually let you sample one, or what?
You know, no, it's because my daughter's going to Meadows for the pre-K class that ICOE is offering through ICOE, and they provided her breakfast, and she's trying to get ready to go to kindergarten.
And she came back. School's pretty boring, but the food was great.
Yeah. No, she's had fun. But again, if you need more information to get the exact times and locations, call Meadows School at 352-7512. And it's free lunch, free breakfast, and free lunch. You know, right now times are tough. Or you know what? If you don't even feel like cooking, it's hot. It gets hot in the kitchen. You know, take your children out to Meadows or to El Centro Community Center or to the old post office pavilion. Contact Meadows to get more times, exact times, what times they're serving lunch, and take the children. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. There's no proof of income or anything like that. Nothing. You know, if you have children, minors, take them.
It's funny. I shut down the kitchen like about 2 weeks ago, and I'm sitting here going, oh, yeah, I'm just totally doing salads right now. That's variations of different things you can put with lettuce and eat it without making heat in the kitchen.
But you can take Abby over there.
I can. Okay.
Breakfast and lunch.
There you go.
It's free, you guys. It's right now, you know, this is the time.
If you mention that you heard this on Let's Talk About It, they'll give you a free coffee cup. No.
No, free lunch. They'll give you a free breakfast and
free
lunch.
Free food, regardless of where you're
heard. But only for minors. Only for minors, and I think it goes all the way to age 18. So, again, if you need information, contact Meadows at 352-7512.
All right, welcome to the greening of Let's Talk About It. We did a long, long time ago, we did an eco-psychology show, which was kind of like green stuff and about the earth and stuff. And long time ago, way back, on the podcast.
Yeah, it's not a podcast. That's a while back.
So it's good that we're finally getting back to this topic and these. And we got some local people today. None of this kind of over-the-phone stuff. Let me go in reverse order to introduce, because then the microphone's going to end up at the right place. Okay? So we have Abdon Valdez Betancourt, and he is the a program volunteer, and then let me
he's pull, a young pull, adult me, volunteer.
Good morning, sir. And then we have Ivan Soto, and Ivan is an environmental technician.
Yes, for IVROP.
You know, those words don't sit together. Environmental technician. You know, it's kind of you should be an environmental, I don't know, sprite of the woods or something.
Maybe they'll change the technician.
Yeah.
Representative.
Oh, nice. I like it.
I don't know. The term, it's more for a link, I think, from the program to the community. That's the way I see it. I understand entirely what you say.
It just occurred to me while I was introducing it. Whoa. Two great tasting. Great, go great together.
So tell us, Ivan, what is IVRP providing with these, with this program, the environmental education program?
Each year is entirely different, but for this past year...
You're just noticing that?
We've offered... each program, it's dependent on... the project is dependent on the funding and where it's going, what age group it's serving. But this past year, it's focused on the New River Wetlands program, pilot mm-hmm. project in Imperial, Brawley, and a new site in by Calipatria.
The New River, that means the river that's polluted over there by Calexico.
Yeah, so the pilot project, I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, that's start in the beginning, right?
Yeah, it's information on the wetlands that have been created by the New River to reduce a lot of the chemicals, pollutants from the nearby agricultural fields that's being drained into the New River. Classroom presentations, field trips, and activities are a major part of the program. And we also not only work with the New River project, we also work with the Sunny Bono Salton Sea National Wildlife Refuge.
Which I think is in the chopping block with the budget.
It is, actually. It's coming. Well, the Salton Sea funding did end in April, and the wetlands planting project is coming to an end in August. So we're currently looking for funding to continue services for the next school year.
I remember when this all came... As you know, maybe I've got a different perspective because I kind of moved here from somewhere else a long time ago.
He's not a Valley native. He's an outsider.
Sorry to admit. I apologize in advance. Okay, 25 years, though. I've been here a while. And when I came here, it was really fascinating because I came from a place of wildness. And you know, you guys had a river. And I was like, oh, sweet, there's a river. And it's brand new, too, because it's like the New River. And so I, like, marched myself down there and got the family, packed up the babies in the car, and got a little picnic stuff, rolled out there. And first of all, it's like I got out there at, like, 5 in the afternoon. It was 112 degrees, like melting. And then I open up the door, and the first thing I see is a sign saying, warning, hazardous biocondition, please.
Yeah, foam.
And then I was like bitten by 20 mosquitoes that had come from the river, and I was like, I ran screaming back to the car. And you know, I started studying this, and it's an amazing, I mean, first of all, there really is a lot of wildlife down there. Because nobody rarely goes down there. It's not like a heavily trafficked area.
Right.
I grew up in Calexico, and right next to the New River, there was a truck park where my dad's a truck driver, and they would park their trucks there. And I would go there, and, I mean, I could smell.
Right off of 2nd Street when you drive out of 2nd Street.
Yeah, it was, that was years. I don't even know if it's still there. And the smell, and then I could sometimes see, like, floating animals, you know, like pigs floating there. And
not like
and
recreational floating.
No, they're dead. That's what I remember from the New River. And then I got married and moved to Brawley. And behind our house...
Which is downriver, which is good.
Yeah, over there in the north end of Brawley, by the cemetery, there's the river bottom. And it didn't smell at all. Mm-mm. It didn't smell at all. There was no, you know, floating things, animals. And it was a lot of lush and... A lot of stuff, you know. There were a lot of animals there, and I would take my horse and go horseback riding there, and it was nice.
What you said about the floating animal bodies, or any illegal dumping, in the past there was not
that
a website.
Yeah, that was like 30 years ago. I'll be 40, so that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, but now there are cleanup projects, and that's something that can be reported by the public on ivanonline.org. That's through the Department of Toxic Substances Control. First of its kind in California.
With your name?
Just that was entirely a coincidence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's an acronym for Imperial Vision Action Network. First of its kind in California.
We named you after that.
I want to say the U.S. as well. Yeah.
So you can go in there and just report it?
Yeah, you can report anything, whether it's illegal dumping tires on the roadside or anything, graffiti, anything you see and you want to report it somewhere. That can be reported on the website.
Cool. So one of the things, like about 10, 15 years ago or so, right, when governments actually had money to invest in infrastructure for the communities, was they did these wetland projects in on the New River Valley, basically, to help filter the water going into the New River so that it would eventually help the people in Brawley enjoy their park more.
That's right. The pilot project started in 1997 through a group called Desert Wildlife Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And Abdin and I were actually helping with the current wetlands planting project for the new site down Shank Road. Actually, we collected bulrush seeds last month, the beginning of this month, and we're in the process of working with someone in Hopeville who's going to help grow them at a greenhouse and eventually transplant them at the new location.
Nice.
And these plants are helping filter out the water, not just the filters out there, but they're also helping absorb a lot of those nutrients in the water.
How are those sites coming along? I mean, you had that one site. There's one site right below the Big Dip on Forrester Road, like in Wiener Road.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's one of the sites for the field trips where we do take students out there, fourth graders, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Those, I don't have the current statistics, but it is available on the website for the New River Wetlands Project, .com.
Not named after you.
No. Not this one.
Not that one. But, I mean, the services that you're providing, they're so important. You know, you've heard more about carbon footprints. I heard some really bad news yesterday regarding the oceans, the state of the oceans, what's going to be in a couple of years from now. They were saying massive die-offs, and I mean, it's
50 years, it's going to be like the cabbage soup in Willy Wonka. It's going to be like water without anything in it, and we're going to be trying to live off it. So there you go.
Yeah. So, if we get more people involved in the environmental issues, maybe it can turn around.
Yeah, because these massive die-offs aren't new. These massive die-offs have been going on for the past 100 years as opposed to any time before that. Mm-hmm. So if people do start making small changes, I'm not saying it has to happen overnight, mm-hmm. but if we just start making small changes, I think we can make a difference in the long run.
Well, people started making changes when gas prices went up,
buying
more fuel, those cars I want to mention.
You don't have to go out and buy a new vehicle. I'm not telling everyone to do that. But there are things that someone can do, whether it's just having enough air pressure in their tires, getting their car serviced, or I know it's a little warm now, but
WALK. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. I know it's something that people think about because it's a little warm, but if you can, if it is possible, if it's walking distance or if you have a bicycle. It's good exercise, too.
And you get to see people and talk to people, whereas when you're in your little vehicle shelter space, you're just kind of going from place to place, and the only person you get to talk to is your iPhone. And even then, it's kind of sketchy because the police see you talking to your iPhone.
Right.
Don't do that.
No.
But, getting out there, when I was growing up, I never had any of these classes. But getting, even my daughter, she's in pre-K, and sometimes she tells me, turn off the water, water's going to run out. Okay. So yeah. She's kind of like the one.
And ROP's been offering these services for the past 13 years.
Wow.
And it has not always been exactly what we're doing now, but in the past we did have programs for recycling education, solar schoolhouse through the National Science Foundation, eco clubs on campuses, and Dippy Duck through
IID.
2006. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you get, like, a Dippy Duck tattoo?
No, that wasn't me. No, I'm just saying.
Because that was really popular for a while.
Yeah.
That was pop culture in the Imperial Valley for quite some time.
Yeah, I grew up on that, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Do you see an interest in the young, in the kids?
I do, actually, whether it's fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth, or some of the ninth grade students that I've worked with. There is an interest, especially not just during the presentation, but getting them out of the classroom. Because I think a lot of the things they see on their textbooks in class, it's a photo. Mm-hmm. And when they actually get to go out to one of the trips, whether it's in Imperial or by the Salton Sea, they actually get to pick these things up and actually get to see one of those birds that we're talking about. So it's a lot closer. And I think it builds a stronger connection.
When was it? I was talking to you on the phone when we were trying to schedule this show.
Mm-hmm.
And over there at the Sunny Bono, at the Salton, I was telling you that, when I went over there, I didn't even know there's people, they're not even local. They're people from across the United States.
Exactly.
They come over here,
mm-hmm.
and, these are biologists, environmental biologists. They have little, a station over there, and they have the little, they live there, and they're working there. And I go, wow, here we are in the valley, and all of these people are from all over the United States and the world, and they're coming here to do work here.
Even the visitors as well. I think most of the population that would visit the refuge was from out of town, from out of state. And most of the locals, not just students that would go on the field trip, but chaperones, parents, they'd say, I've lived here for 30 years. I didn't know this place was around. So that's great to get the community actually out there.
That was me, too. I mean, have you gone?
Yeah, of course, because I moved here 25 years ago. I didn't realize we weren't supposed to go there. I went before it was actually the Sonny Bono place, because I used to go, well, not only am I an avid outdoorsman, but I was a total fisherman, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was down there slaying the Corvina when there used to be Corvina in the Salton Sea. And, oh, man, that was so much fun. But I was like walking around the whole Red Hill area and looking for spots, and that Sonny Bono spot was one of the spots that you inevitably end up checking out. Plus, they've got some really cool obsidian up there. I mean, the rock stuff up there is just really interesting, the geological stuff. But now they've got this avian botulism bird sanctuary, because avian botulism is one of the things that just kind of reared its ugly head in the Salton Sea, I don't know, 7-8 years ago maybe. We start having these huge bird die-offs, and I think the thing that really got everybody's attention was the brown pelicans, because they were endangered.
Oh, right.
And basically what's happened is once we flooded the Salton Sea, and it filled up full of life, because it's this really shallow place where lots of life ends up growing because we put nutrients into it, the birds began to adopt it as a part of their flyway, and it became... With the shrinking of other places for birds to land and hang out, because, you know, we're building apartments there, it became a real hotspot. The problem is that avian botulism somehow found its way into the system, and now every summer, when it gets nice and hot, birds start going, you know, and dropping dead, and they're out there. That's why you've got this whole kind of international scientific effort to manage this avian botulism stuff. So that we better understand it, so that we can stop these seasonal outbreaks now, because it happens every year. And they've actually found that by identifying the birds and treating them, they're able to let most of them survive. So I'm into it.
Wow.
Obviously,
okay.
Obviously.
Thank you. Good. Yeah, you
way
are.
Too, I know. Way too into it.
Yeah. I know. In there.
There you go. I've got a backup plan.
I know you just got a job offer, Scott. You know.
So what you guys do then is you 4th through 6th and 9th grades, are those the target ages?
The target ages are 4th, 5th, and 6th, but I have worked with other age groups, even kindergarten as well. Not necessarily PowerPoint presentations. I thought that would just be too much. So for kindergarten in the past, I did do it was a wetland story time, mm-hmm. and a puppet show. Before a field trip, so that was a lot of fun, having the students involved with that.
So you guys go into the classroom then and do preparatory activities?
Exactly, beforehand, a bit of the history on the refuge, and on the field trip, refuge staff actually helps with the tour guide, so they give a bit of history, the plants that are out there, some of the wildlife, and the students get to take that home with them, that information.
Is 4th through 6th like the little window of environmental awareness development or something? I mean, is that really when it sticks to people, or what?
It's part of the California content standards. It just happens to fit perfectly into that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great time for the students to learn about that in the classroom and get out into the field and experience that.
Is that why you're wearing a Justin Bieber t-shirt today?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either.
He kind of has a look, doesn't he?
I'm never wearing this shirt again.
You know what? I know Justin Bieber, and that never came across. That's Scott.
Thank you.
Scott is a fan of Justin Bieber.
No, I've got a force. I've got a.
So everything looks like Justin Bieber to him.
Wow. He is kind of neat, and the fact that he's always going to look like he's 12 is kind of cool too. But no, I've got a 4th grade daughter, so
you see, you have that part.
Kind of following the
everything looks
popularity
like
of my elementary school.
I hope so.
So you guys go into the schools and you give them some PowerPoints?
Yeah, it's a PowerPoint presentation. It can be tailored whether it's more conversational, but mainly a PowerPoint presentation with photos, some information of the birds that they can expect to see.
Live animals?
Once.
Footprints.
We did
Footprints,
actually. We did have a group. I have partnered up with the Desert Protective Council of Imperial Valley based out of San Diego, and we did have a barn owl in the classroom before a owl pellet. Dissection activity. So that was really neat.
I dropped a barn owl off at the Sonny Bono Center once because they handle, locally, they handle any injured raptors
exactly,
that you may come across.
Cool.
So you guys do an owl pellet thing?
Yes, that's one of the post field trip activities.
That's when we chop up the owls into little pieces.
No,
and make
absolutely
no,
not.
No.
No, the owl pellets would be something that the students do in classroom labs. They team up with one to two partners, and they learn a bit about the diet of a barn owl. Not that a barn owl is the only one that's going to produce a pellet, but these are the ones I do order from a catalog, and it's actually the remains of what was not digested. So mm-hmm. if this barn owl happened to eat a mouse or mm-hmm. a rodent, the part that it couldn't digest, it would eventually regurgitate those, and that's what the students are opening up. It's basically a collection of fur and bones. So the students get to open these up, try to piece back this this skeleton, and figure out what exactly this barn owl ate. And it can range from one rodent to a family.
What, how do kids react? I mean, I would probably like...
At first, it's like, gross. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I'm not touching that. But after a video and a presentation, they're all over it, and they actually want to take the bones home. So they love it. It's one
you,
of the
do you have to explain it's actually something that the owl kind of puked up as opposed to...
In the video, you know, right?
No, exactly. Before they know it's something that they puked out, it's they have this other idea that it came out from some
yeah,
other
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I mean, that's a good opportunity because a lot of with doing that, if kids really like it, you know, you never know what's going to happen for the future. Maybe
yeah,
they'll
right,
be
right.
become veterinarians, or they'll become surgeons, or, you know, environmental. Spark an interest.
Yeah, or just healthy respect for wildlife, right? Okay, top of the hour, we have to take a short break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We'll be right back with more of the show.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It with Scott and Maria, and we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And also, you can access the show through our podcast at KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. It's top of the hour. Thank you all for listening this summer. We're having a good time. We have Imperial Valley Regional Occupational Program, otherwise known as IVROP, in the house. And, okay, I actually
jingle.
Stole that jingle from the Mickey Mouse Show, which was popular in the 1950s. And but it sounds catchy, huh?
Yes, it does.
It does.
It fits right in. We have Ivan Soto, and he's an environmental technician. And now I'm going to go backwards, and we have Abdon Valdez Betancourt, and
hello.
He is the only person in the room today not being paid to be here. He is a volunteer, which, as Mario was pointing out, is the original green act of humanness, because you're giving something away for free, and that's kind of really awesome, cool.
And he's a young adult.
Well, we'd have to check his ID.
Yeah, you would.
You're younger than 40, right?
I'm 65.
There you go. He's just remarkably well preserved because he's living an environmentally friendly lifestyle. Yes.
Anybody younger than 40?
If we told you that being green would take away wrinkles, man, we have it totally. Yeah. The marketing strategy of the new generation.
Okay.
Some black helps too.
Abdon, why are you volunteering for these guys? What's it like? What do you do?
Well, trying to be an educated adult, and you know, you just have to, you know, it's like action. You need to like really take part. It's a lot of time you gotta just talk about doing things, and you know, but a lot of times talk isn't enough. You have to doesn't suffice. You gotta like take.
This
some
is
time.
Talk radio. I just want to point that out.
But you know, yes, I know what you're saying is that. You know, people see, oh, you know what, they see something on TV, oh, that's not right, you know, that's wrong. But nobody does anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
And you are doing something.
Well, you know, when I can.
Were you drawn to environmentalism? Were you drawn to the whole natural thing? Or was that the only gig in town? Or were you Facebook friends with Ivan and he said, hey, I need some help here?
A little combination of that.
What's your sense in working in this program? How has it you know, grown your appreciation for all things natural? Or
oh yeah, so definitely. You know, I really, it's kind of hard to put into words, but you kind of just do it, because a lot of times you're so stuck. I don't know. Sometimes it feels like these communities, especially because of the heat, everyone's kind of just locked in, inside, indoors or whatever, and it's like the natural like. because it's just so hot. But a lot of times, you like most of what, like, you know, half of the year it's not as hot. For, so, but you just gotta go for it, just because, you know. Yeah, I'm not very articulate right now.
But you know, they're just, I mean, there's a lot of times in the community, there's the environment cleanup parks, they do the cleanup also in the desert. They do that annually. Is IVRP involved in those events?
Different youth groups may be involved. Not entirely sure, but I think this is a great time to mention. I just started a new chapter in Imperial Valley for Project 7. This is something based out of Texas. There's 10 chapters throughout the U.S.
Hence the name Project 7.
No, actually, Project 7 is, you may have seen these before. You can buy these online or at the checkout aisle at a Walmart. It's Project 7, whether it's Feed the Hungry, Save the Earth.
Yeah,
a certain percentage, I want to say 50% of sales go to nonprofit organizations that help shelter the homeless, help plant trees in communities. And there's seven different fields that it goes into, but...
Just for the listeners, he actually pulled out like this little vial of mints, peppermints,
exactly,
with a little Project 7 label on it.
Yeah, sure, I had those with me.
Didn't share any of them, but that's cool.
Help yourself. They're a little strong.
Totally.
What's the purpose of Project 7? What do they do?
Each chapter organizes one volunteer event each month, and that's partnering up with a local nonprofit and getting the community involved. So next month is my first event, and I'm looking into partnering up with a nonprofit, whether it's Ivy Food Bank or a school district or the Center for Family Solutions. So I'm still in the process of working on that, but I'm sure it's going to be a great event.
Okay, Ivy Food Bank and Center for Family Solutions, you heard
it. Is this going to be virtually organized, like on the Innerbook, on the Internet, or some other?
There is a website, changethescore.com. And I am going to be posting these at local Starbucks locations, places where people are going to see them, and, of course, online as well.
What are you going to be doing? What event is it?
For the first one, each one can range depending on what the organization wants to do with it. But for the first few, I know I do want to do a beautification day event or a tree planting project. So starting off with those and moving on along what the volunteers see is needed in Imperial Valley.
Trees. We need trees. We need, you know, parks.
Which came first with you, the chicken or the egg? I mean, did you get this gig as an environmental technician and then kind of, like, awakened you to all this possibility?
It did, actually. I started as a volunteer a year ago before the environmental program. I was a volunteer for Earth Day, and I just started helping out with the activities, and I got really involved in it, and I started making all kinds of really neat things.
Saw all this possibility?
Yeah, exactly. So I began actually working with the project in late November. And since then, I've wanted to do something outside of work that's not necessarily work-related, but it is in a way. So that's what sparked this idea for the Project 7.
You know, this is so good because, you know, they're both young, both of them. And, you know, you would expect them that us older people would be ones pushing. But no, it's you guys, the young adults that are pushing for environmental change.
And that's what I want to see. It's been a bit too often where I see young people complaining about Imperial Valley and not really doing anything about
There's
it.
There's nothing to do here.
Exactly.
Ever.
Make something
Especially
happen.
Especially in the summer.
Make something happen. That's my response to that. Whether it's online, someone posting it, or in person. Do something about it. Why complain? That's not going to solve anything.
How about your friends? Do your friends, are they now all on your bandwagon?
Not necessarily bandwagon, but they're very involved. If I need help with something, I'll post it online, and there's always a reply. And that's how I've managed to get volunteers at least 4 to 6 a day for the planting project, collecting bulrush seeds. So I've had students from Imperial Valley College and San Diego State help out with these. And
well,
that
you
was
can always...
So your social networking
stuff
is now becoming more of a social organization
tool
for you, huh?
Well,
that
you can always give us, you know, whenever you have an event going on, you know, bring in here with Mario and just we'll announce it.
I would
on my
love
community.
To do that. That would
be great. And just go online and search Facebook, Yvonne Soto, what city?
El Centro.
And fill up his inbox with friend requests.
Awesome.
You'll be able to get, you know,
updates on what's going on with the program. That's what I use it for. That's what I use my page for.
You know, I would love to get, you know, to get my daughter started, you know, with the whole environmental, getting her involved. You know, if it means going to the park and picking up trash, but she can do that. We can both do that without a stroller.
And you meet some really interesting people over those events. You meet some really interesting people in the valley that you might not have met.
Well, you know, that's actually because my daughter and I practice walking. and we'll actually go walk and get stuff. Like, or if I get a letter to mail, I'll like walk to the post office. And that's what we take away from the walking frequently, is that, you know, we're in a community and there's lots of people in the community, and just having somebody say good morning to you and saying good morning back to them is a real kind of neat experience when you're just it happening real time and you're just feeling it. It's like, well, we are connected in a way. So getting people out and getting them, you know, and maybe that's the first step in respecting nature. I know it's been difficult in Imperial Valley because this is a place where we've kind of changed the land in some pretty significant ways, and mostly in terms of kind of an exploitive sense. You know, we turned it into farmland. We took the water from somewhere else and created a little harm there and grew plants so we could make money.
Yeah. But just, you know, driving on the roads here in the valley, driving on Dogwood or driving on the a Clark or Forester, you know, you see trash or on those side roads, you see tires being dumped, furniture being dumped, and sometimes it also has to be the county needs to get involved in those issues. You know, I don't think it should. And here's my opinion here. People, a lot of them dump their stuff on the road because it costs money to dump it.
Right.
You know, and then it's costing the county a lot more money to clean it up. So I don't see
the
sense.
So if you had free disposal, you'd actually save money because you have to spend money picking up
county,
later.
You know, don't charge them. Then, you know, that if they get caught, you know what, hey, yes, give them a heavy penalty on it. But, you know, there's a reason, especially right now in the economic times right now, you know, if they can save money to buy milk or food to put on the table and they need to dump something, probably they'll maybe dump it on the road, which it makes it more expensive for the county to pick it up. I mean, there should be some type of a program that, you know what, hey, it's free. People would go, they have stuff in their houses, they would probably go over there to the dump and throw all that stuff for free. That would be great. Instead of dumping it on the roads and harming the environment. That was my opinion.
We do have, you have the fields, and you put all the material on the side of the road, the stuff gets...
Leaches into the broccoli. Mario was saying that, you know, they dump it next to the fields, and things get dumped into the fields, too, in the plants. But, yeah, I mean, that's... I see that as a kind of a very... simple, and it, I mean, it's costing the county more money.
Right, and it's not. I think it's not always the county. It's
in the
sometimes
city.
It is someone's on someone's property,
mm-hmm.
so it does become their responsibility. And I do want to mention again that if someone does see that and they would like to report it, it can be on ivanonline.org, and you can actually read the blogs on there, see if they've taken action, if it was verified, and follow along on the webpage.
Or they could do the other thing. It should be free. Not
or that.
They shouldn't have charged them.
I like both ideas. I do.
So once people figure out you're the environmentally aware person, do you get all these opinions and stories? I mean, you must really trigger a lot of, you know, we all have this kind of piece of us that maybe wants to connect or wants to be a part of positive change. And once they find out it's you, you must get lots of opinions and stories. And
I do, and I they've for the most part they've all been positive, so mm-hmm. I really appreciate that.
You need to start a blog.
I do. It's a good idea.
Blogging the greening of the valley.
Actually, I will have to start a blog for the chapter, so
yeah,
that is up and running about a week or so.
But today, I mean, it feels sad, you know, when you're driving around, you see all this trash on the side of the road. It's just, you know, I should be stopping and picking it up.
Well, and conversely, it's really, really cool to say go down to the clean project off of Wiener Road and look at the clean water now going back into the river. But if you go out there early in the morning when it's not quite so hot, there's probably you're going to see raccoon evidence for sure. But you could see bobcat down there. There are mountain lions walking in the New River Valley, you know, because no people go down there, and there's plenty of rabbits and other game for them to eat.
And that's the best time to go in the morning. I've taken a group of students, I think it was about 7 a.m. we left campus in Calexico, and we were on Rock Hill Trail at the refuge.
Yes.
We were right by the Salton Sea, and one of the students noticed down on a ditch there was a bobcat right in front of a desert cottontail. So the students got to see that firsthand, and it was awesome.
It's like the Discovery Channel only.
It is real, exactly. And we all had a pair of binoculars, so we got an even closer look. So that was something really great that the program offers classes.
Do you go to the desert?
We do not. Because of funding, we're limited to where we can take the groups, and it's mainly to these two locations.
So it's tied to these projects.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
Wow. So what's going to happen if you don't get the funding?
If the funding does not... We are currently working on a cost-share agreement, so we're... I don't want to say going half on the funding for school trips and everything like that, but I'm confident that we will find funding. The program has been running for 13 years, and I don't think that's going to come to an end.
I hope not.
Very cool. Now, one of the things we have in the summertime in particular on Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, is... All the school administrators and teachers can listen now that they're out of school and they're just kind of hanging out and stuff like that. So for those people, if they want to contact you maybe and get on, you know, maybe a tentative list for next fall, what's your contact information through IVROP?
Best way to contact me would be through email, and that would be isoto@ivrop.org.
That's little isoto, like iPhone, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. So isoto@ivrop.org or my office number, 760-312-6620.
Great. So then they can just kind of line up stuff for next year
and
lay
the
down
their
I'm interested card.
Yeah, and if they missed all that information, they can always call IVROP. And that's for the environmental services.
Exactly.
Youth services.
Mm-hmm. So typically in a school year, are you guys booked from week to week? I mean, it's like...
It's been a really busy...
Roadshow.
It's been a really busy past few months for the program. Each week, I was in a different classroom, starting at the beginning of the week with a presentation, followed by the field trip on that same week, and ending off with the owl pellet dissection activity, or another activity, mainly this one, which was a favorite. But each week, it was a different classroom at a different school in a different town. And it was just moving along the line.
And then you accumulate with a visit out to one of these wetland areas?
Exactly. Depending on the age group, we were trying to take the fourth graders out to the Imperial location and the older students out to the refuge. So next year, if we'd serve the same school, we can take that new group of students to a new location.
Mm, perfect. You can kind of see the process.
And one really neat thing is the schools I did work with, we had the opportunity to provide a free flight bird show through Sky King's Falconry Service. So the students got to see a school-wide presentation with our presenter who did bring in his barn owl.
Oh, wow.
He brought in two falcons.
Barney. It's actually named Barney, which is...
No.
And
don't confuse.
A black vulture. So he actually had those for the presentation.
Named black vulture.
No, it was a black... Those are big.
It's huge. It was huge. And it's they're free flight, so they're out in the crowd. They're in the open. I had him for two presentations for the Earth Day Fair. So if anyone was out there, that was Sky King's Falconry with Kevin Gaines. And the kids love that presentation.
Yeah, when you bring in any type of animal, you know, they love it. They see them instead of seeing them on TV or
exactly.
in a book.
In real
or
life.
Or on a computer.
And falconry is like one of those sports like horsemanship where you've really got these symbiotic relationships between the animal who's basically free to cruise and the human who's working kind of in partnership rather than kind of top down.
Right.
So
how did you guys meet him?
We're friends. We've been friends for quite a while now.
So you got him. Okay.
So
come on. Get on board.
No, basically, like I said, I do a lot of social networking. Mm-hmm. So that's mainly how I've managed to get my volunteers.
We used to call it making friends back in the old days.
No,
now it's social networking.
No. I don't mean it that way. Abden and I have been friends for years. Yeah. He was living in L.A. for a while, so I would visit him all the time. Kept in contact, and as soon as he moved down a few weeks ago, I asked, hey, if you've got any free time, if you can lend a hand, that would be awesome. So he was willing to help out.
So, wow. And you're so, you know, that's, okay. You see, he was from L.A. and living in L.A.
Not really.
Okay, but you know.
Homeless in L.A. Okay.
But you know, no, we need more people, more young adults here in the Valley, locally. Get them involved.
So, Abdon, you've been here for a relatively short amount of time. What's your experience here being in the Valley?
I've actually been here like lots of time. I had to leave 2 years to go to a school in Los Angeles.
And I came back. So you're here locally, but then you went and came back. Okay.
Yeah. I was like getting a BA in Fine Arts Painting from Otis.
Hence the paint.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why my shorts are so
always
painty. I think that's the actual term, right?
One of the things I think we have to really talk about in the Valley is kind of brain drain, right? Because we get these beautiful, creative people growing up here, and you know, first thing a really beautiful, creative person seems to want to do is
just get out.
There you go. You're calling it. What's it like for you to come back? And do you see yourself now as kind of having a mentor, example, creative energy role here in the Valley?
So yeah, sort of. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, we have creative people. We have Malso Mario here. He's very creative. You know, he writes his own music, and we have a lot of creative young adults. Mario's still young.
Yeah, there's like
right,
a,
Mario.
Yeah, there's like an idea, the idea that that people do, like, they drain their community out of smart people. It's even in LA, like, even in Los Angeles, like, people get out of the east side to move on to the west side, and it's like, it's a constant. People are always just kind of trying to move out, and you know, mostly it's like money and aspirations or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of times it's very, very positive when you go back to these communities and you see, and people see you, that you're just not like abandoning your community. You're like you want to go back and do something, because you do see a void, you see a lack, and it's kind of like, whoa, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't really have to be that way, and you have to like just kind of go for it. And then you probably, you know, who knows if it will be successful or not, but I think I say effort counts for a lot.
Yeah, the success is in the doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, never know if you don't try, if you don't do it.
Welcome back.
And welcome
back.
You're here. Well, I know, and thank you for being a volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just for, you know, it affects everybody. And it's for the benefit for everyone.
You know, because the rest of us can all act like concerned, environmentally aware or mentally health conscious people,
hey,
but
I put
in
solar
fact,
panels.
We're getting paid for this.
Hey, I have solar panels on my roof.
And you didn't get paid to do that.
No.
You are getting the California rebate stuff, obviously, but
not enough yet. And you know what? But that's one of the parts. I mean, where I live, there's a lot of, I have a lot of ground. And what we did, it costs a lot of money to be trying to be environmentally, you know, conscious.
Yeah, so far
of
we haven't really figured out a way to kind of hook environmental consciousness up to lower middle class.
You know, I would have loved to have grass all in front of my house. You've seen my where I live. Yeah. And it's huge. But that's going to cost, that was going to be a lot of water.
Why
so,
grass?
So we put concrete.
Oh, okay. You could start a garden in the front yard. That could also be a possibility. I know some people have actually done that.
Not in that neighborhood, man. They get a really saline soil, and it's really bad. Whole alkaline thing, and it's just not. Nah.
Very high alkali. So what I did is just put a lot of concrete.
You mentioned that,
and
right?
Then, and just put, you know, patches of grass just here and there. And in my backyard, I put a gravel, and, you know, part of it, a lot of gravel in the back, and then I just put some areas of grass and a lot of heat-resistant plants.
Yeah, which is really socially kind. I mean, if you go to like Arizona or something, it's like they're totally that way. I mean, you don't
cactus
see any
and stuff and
lush, you know, front yards hanging
but
out.
Everybody wants a lush front yard, but it was just that's a lot of water there.
Do you guys talk about that stuff with your kids too or no?
Not necessarily, not this year for the program because of time's sake, but I would always try to tie in recycling and just being a little more aware of what they're
conservation,
asking their
conservation.
Parents to spend money for products on. So I would tie that in. It wasn't part of the program, but I'd always make sure I threw that in at
it's
some
always
point.
Good. It's
during,
always
during
good.
The program.
Now, this may be kind of a leap here, but Abdon and Ivan, you guys are so inspiring with what you do. It's almost like it feels like it's time to make some music to celebrate your...
I agree.
Your contributions to the community and the goodness of the stuff that you're doing in the environment and stuff. So if you'd be willing to kind of strap your gear on here and give us a little tune to close out the show, we can play that. Now, while you're doing that, throw out your contact information one more time.
isolto@ivrop.org, 760-312-6620.
And, you know, again, miss that information, you can always contact IVRP and ask for the environmental youth programs.
Do you guys have a name to this organization, Music?
It's a bit folky.
I like to consider it folky. No name, and again, we're just making this up as we go along.
Awesome.
You should. That is great.
No, that's great. This is our, you know, this is our future, you guys. So this is. That was so good. Oh, great. You know what? You should record that.
We record music. I do play my own stuff. Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. I thought it was over.
No, we're still on.
Oh, we're still on.
We have one more. No, that was so good. I mean, everything that you guys said, it's like, yep, that's true. We need to do that.
I plan to post things online, not yet, but we do record from home off a program, so most of the things are played instruments one at a time, guitar, then we'll put our headphones on, play a bass line over that, then drums, keyboards, a glockenspiel occasionally, harmonica, things like that, but always very folky. Our roots are in folk.
Yeah, I like that word, glockenspiel.
Yeah.
It's very awesome.
But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity for playing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I hope our listeners enjoyed it. And it's going to be on podcast.
Yes.
So I can actually listen to it again.
Thank you.
All right.
And for all of you, have a good weekend. Be safe. Drink lots of water. It's going to be hot out there. So please take care of yourselves. And we'll hopefully hear from you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.